This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is a political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and he joins us on Monday afternoons to talk politics. And Bob has graciously agreed to join us a little bit early today so that we can get started. We have so much to get to on this General Assembly week. It starts on Wednesday, day after tomorrow.
You know, I was out there playing basketball. It is so warm today. It is beautiful out
there. Were you on the boards today? Were you shooting hoops?
It was beautiful.
Hey, Bob, you know, in the last, before we went to a break, I was telling folks how I'm back reading old Cavalier Dailies, which once upon a time I did for many, many years when I was writing the Corner book. And I'm doing that again now for an article for the UVA Alumni Magazine about the honor system. And I was reading a Cavalier Daily from February 17th, 1970. And I bumped into a letter to the editor by one young Bob Gibson, a second-year student at the University of Virginia, writing to the editors at the Cavalier Daily. And he was not pleased that his fellow students at basketball games were crumpling up their empty Coke cups and throwing them on the court.
They weren't always empty. There was ice in some of
them. Oh, you're kidding.
No, I mean, it was dangerous. You know, they were throwing ice on the court because they didn't like some of the refs' calls. And I just thought, you know, don't do something that's going to cost us an ACC basketball game by getting us a technical on the crowd. I mean, we don't need that.
Yeah, yeah. And where is the Virginia gentleman, you know?
Just, right. It didn't show up at U-Haul that day, whoever it was.
Right, right. Well, I was very pleased to, and it's true, the letter to the editor here, you know, 38 years ago, is in true Gibson style. You can see the nascent political reporter there. Very laid-back style, but I really liked it.
Well, I hadn't even declared a major back then, so I think I was still looking at history as a major.
Really? So you weren't writing for the
That was right before I went to WUVA, right before my first experience in journalism.
Wow. Wow. And for folks who don't know, you actually started out in radio news at WUVA.
Right. A great student station, which still continues today.
Yeah. Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper, and you can read it online at dailyprogress.com, and go to dailyprogress.com, and you'll see a link to Bob's blog. Big headline from today is Marshall, Delegate Bob Marshall, has declared his candidacy for U.S. Senate.
He's running against Jim Gilmore for the Republican nomination to oppose Mark Warner for John Warner's Senate seat. And, you know, he probably starts as far behind Jim Gilmore as Jim Gilmore starts behind Mark Warner. So we don't truly have a tight race for either of these yet, but at least there is a race for the Republican nomination now. It'll be decided in late May in a convention in Richmond, and Bob Marshall is one of those few individuals who has, you know, a solid conservative record in the House of Delegates. He's going to get out there and challenge Jim Gilmore, probably from the right.
Tell, for folks who don't know Bob Marshall now, tell us a little bit more about him, because he truly is. I mean, if you were to look up a Virginia conservative far right wing, his picture's right there. I mean, he has been the poster boy for this.
He's a champion of social conservative causes in the General Assembly. You can count on him every year to think of 3 to 5 or 6 creative ways to try to attack abortion rights in Virginia and make sure that there are bills in every year that attack the status quo in Virginia and try to narrow the window in which abortions can be obtained.
And of course, on many issues, he has really taken the lead on socially conservative legislation. I thought that Gilmore was the right wing conservative Republican candidate.
Gilmore is conservative, there's no doubt. But look at Bob Marshall. Bob Marshall believes in a life being a life from conception. Jim Gilmore says you can have an abortion in the first trimester. There's a big difference there among philosophically among Republicans and the Republican base. And it's going to be decided in a Republican convention in Richmond at the Richmond Convention Center.
Well, and the convention will certainly favor a conservative over a moderate
candidate.
Absolutely.
That's why Tom Davis kind of ducked out of the race when they decided to make it a convention instead of a state primary.
Do you think we'll see a moderate candidate vie for this nomination in the Republican Party?
I don't see why. Jim Gilmore has such a solid lead going into this convention. You know, Bob Marshall's a brave man taking him on.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. And, of course, the polls are showing that no matter who the Republican candidate is at this point, that Mark Warner has a fairly sizable lead, but, you know, what do the polls know?
Yeah, well, the presidential primaries will show us what the polls know, which is they can change.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
They can change pretty quick.
We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Where should we start? Well, New Hampshire, of course, is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow's the big day, and it looks like Barack Obama is riding an incredible wave out of Iowa that is just taking off in New Hampshire. The crowds in New Hampshire, the enthusiasm, the excitement for his campaign in New Hampshire is something that is really astounding reporters up there. They are seeing many, many, many more people at these high school gyms and other town events across the entire state than they have seen in previous New Hampshire primaries. His crowds are dwarfing Hillary Clinton's crowds, and he has become the favorite overnight since Iowa. Hillary Clinton had a solid 8-point lead about 2 weeks ago or a week ago in New Hampshire. She is now trailing Barack Obama anywhere from 8 to 13 points in the most recent polls.
Wow. That's amazing. It looks the Iowa bump is like the Iowa rocket ship launching. I mean, it's just amazing.
They're so tightly packed at the beginning of the schedule. You know, everybody moved up, and they moved up in a way that they're so tight that there isn't really time to differentiate and change your message a whole lot. Now, Hillary Clinton tried to change her message over the weekend, but Barack Obama has convinced people that, you know, a black man can take a primary with a large number of huge turnout in Iowa. You know, he may do well in a state like New Hampshire that has 0.5% black residents. He did very well in a state that has 2% black residents in Iowa. This has prompted that large numbers of Americans who said a black man can't win the presidency to reexamine that belief.
Yeah, it's really interesting that he did so well. And he's running on the same thing that what I find so fascinating. He's running on the same thing that Bill Clinton ran on in 91, hope and change. Those same two words again and again and again. And that's exactly what we heard from Bill Clinton after 12 years of Republicans in the White House.
And Hillary, who was trying to be inevitably, you know, the front runner and, you know, the entire party machinery behind her. And she thought, you know, she would go into New Hampshire and it would be her firewall. Well, her firewall caught fire. And she's now trying to say, I'm the real candidate of real change. You know, he gives a good speech. But if you watch the debates over the weekend, there were some good debates in New Hampshire on both sides. And both candidates did very well. Hillary Clinton changed her tactic completely. She went into attack mode, and it's very difficult for
her. It got angry in one debate.
Well, she did, and it's very difficult for her to attack Barack Obama. So basically, she's telling voters, you know, I'm the candidate who's brought change. He's the candidate with nice words. And I'm not sure how that's going over.
You know, and I don't want anybody to read this as me, like, showing my cards for who I support, because at this point, I really could. There's a couple of Republicans I like. There's a couple of Democrats I like. I have no idea who I'm going to vote for. But every time I hear Hillary Clinton talk, I think, oh, where's all this experience you're talking about? You were the first lady. Now, you've been in the Senate for a little while, but you talk as if you were president, and you were not. What is this?
Bill
she
Richardson.
Says, I know how to lead from day one. I don't get it. Where is this great experience that she's talking about?
Bill Richardson and John Edwards and Barack Obama were kind of teaming up against her in that Saturday night debate in New Hampshire, where both parties had debates back to back. And Richardson pointed out, I'm the only candidate on the stage who not only has negotiated with foreign leaders like the North Koreans, but I'm the only candidate on the stage who has the highest security clearance. What she was doing as first lady, you know, certainly involved working on health care, which didn't go where she wanted it to.
Yeah, yeah.
It involved other issues, but it did not involve the kind of national security work that would have gotten her as high as a security clearance as Secretary of Energy Bill Richardson.
I'm surprised that he hasn't caught on more, because, you know, in other years, he would be a true front runner. I mean, the guy, when you start reading about the experience that he has, it's really impressive.
Americans aren't voting in primaries based on experience. I mean, they're voting their hearts. They're voting that hope and change message.
Yeah. And certainly Barack Obama is reaching, and if the polls are any indication of what's going to happen tomorrow, he's reaching a lot of independents in New Hampshire.
He is, and he's going to draw a lot of independents into the Democratic primary, because they have, as they do in Virginia, as they will have in Virginia.
You can vote however you want to, right?
They can go into the Democratic primary and vote if they wish. They can go into the Republican primary and vote if they wish. Same thing here in Virginia, and it looks like a large number of the independents in New Hampshire are going to go in and vote for Barack Obama tomorrow, which could deprive some of the vote that John McCain needs if he's going to upset the previous front runner. He's now leading by 4 points in most recent polls, Mitt Romney from neighboring Massachusetts.
So Romney is ahead right now.
No, Romney was ahead until right after When Huckabee took Iowa, Mitt Romney's inevitability kind of fell apart because he had spent so much money and so much time. He was expected to win Iowa. Huckabee came from behind, came out of nowhere, beat him in Iowa, and then all of a sudden, people in New Hampshire, where Huckabee will be lucky to finish, you know, a decent third, were looking for somebody to stop Mitt Romney, and they have gravitated to John McCain. So McCain has shown
who won
up,
their big couple of cycles ago
In 2000.
Yeah.
So he has really fired up in the polls and is now 4 points ahead in the most recent polls, ahead of Mitt Romney. So that's the real battle.
So McCain could
on the
be coming
Republican
back.
Side. McCain, it looks like he's coming back.
And then, but in 2000, he went down to South Carolina then, and that's where they really reversed it. The Republican, the Bushes people
really,
down there did some nasty stuff.
They did him in South Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, they were calling people at home saying, don't you know John McCain has a black child out of wedlock?
All kinds of nasty phone calls were made in that race. It's the kind of campaigning that Americans detest. And it's funny, the winners in Iowa were the two who were perceived as running the cleanest campaigns.
Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee.
Interesting.
So
Americans are kind of fed up. This negative stuff may work, but it also may come back and bite you.
Yeah, and this may be the year where it comes back and bites you the most.
Harder. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Now, what's happening on the flesh that out more with what's happening on the right in New Hampshire tomorrow. It is funny when you mention Mitt Romney. It just hit me. Gosh, weren't we all just talking about Mitt Romney and Mormonism? And, you know, they think the God is the brother. Jesus is the brother of the devil or something. And
well,
we were
Huckabee,
talking about that so much just a couple of weeks ago.
We were. And Mike Huckabee played that fiddle beautifully out in Iowa. He basically got the evangelical vote, which is large in Iowa and very small in New Hampshire, to come out strong for him. And he went from nowhere to ahead of Mitt Romney, who had spent, you know, $8 million in just Iowa, you know, about six times what Mike Huckabee had spent. So Huckabee came in 2 months' time from nowhere to overtake and beat Mitt Romney. Romney is now fighting for his life in New Hampshire with McCain slightly ahead. Looks like Huckabee will be third. Ron Paul could finish fourth. Ron Paul is now in double digits. You know, Fox News did...
He got 10% in Iowa.
Yeah, he did get 10% in Iowa. And Fox News did him a disservice by excluding him from last night's debate in New Hampshire, where they had some guy named Fred Thompson on.
Yeah, I didn't think that was right at
Fred
all.
Fred Thompson is polling about 4% in the polls up there, about less than half of what Ron Paul is polling, and they excluded Ron Paul. That makes no sense.
Yeah. Is it just because the corporate folks at Fox want Paul out? They don't like what he's saying.
That could be it.
What other motivation could there be? Because
well, the corporate folks at Fox could be fond of Fred Thompson. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But all the Ron Paul supporters are clearly upset.
Well, they should be. Because
we got a Ron Paul balloon here in Charlottesville, don't we?
I've seen it several places.
So Ron Paul is out, but could he come back
again?
No,
Ron Paul isn't out. Ron Paul...
But I mean, he was out of that debate, but
he was out of that debate,
that.
But I think he can finish fourth, maybe close to third tomorrow. It's going to be interesting. I think Obama is probably a double-digit lead, about 10% ahead of Hillary Clinton right now.
Yeah,
I think John Edwards has surged a little bit in recent days. He may finish closer to Hillary Clinton than Hillary Clinton finishes to Barack Obama. On the Republican side, it looks like John McCain is going to eke out a win if enough independents come in and vote for him. He's about tied among true Republican voters in New Hampshire with Mitt Romney. Huckabee's a distant third. Ron Paul could beat out Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani could probably and probably will.
Where is Giuliani?
Well, he spent most of his last couple of weeks in Florida instead, you know, ignoring the early caucus and primaries, which is a terrible decision on his part. I mean, by the time his states come around, the ones where he counts on some kind of margin.
Yeah. When the field is this big and they're all this close, you need to be in there early.
Well, he needed to have more of a national campaign because now he's trying to come back in New Hampshire. And he didn't do as well in the debate last night. The debate last night was really between Huckabee, McCain, and Romney. And I think the analysts gave it to Romney. But the fact that you win a debate does not overcome the good speeches that have been going on the side. Hillary found that out. You know, she probably won a debate Saturday night if you count the debate scored on points.
Yeah.
But it didn't look that way to people who are inspired and are surging in their interest about Barack Obama.
Bob Gibson is the political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress and joins us every Monday afternoon to talk politics, and you are getting ready to get very, very busy, as you do, as you are wont to do at this time of year, traveling back and forth to Richmond and walking the halls of the what's that building? It's slipping my mind. The
well, the State Capitol, the General Assembly building.
Yeah, yeah.
General Assembly building is where we hang out most of the time during the day.
Because what's the governor's office is in what building? What's that called?
That's the old state library, just down where they used as a temporary legislative chamber. Or two chambers.
Oh, no, it's all different now because
now
they're all back in the...
They're back in the Capitol.
That's right, that's right.
But the governor's office stayed across the street.
Yeah. And it starts Wednesday morning, I guess.
Wednesday
at noon.
Second Wednesday of January at 12 noon has been the Virginia General Assembly starting point. It used to meet every other year. And then they eventually went to annual sessions. And now we're in the budget year. This is the year in which they tackle for 60 days, not just the 3,000 bills that get introduced, but the big bill, which is the budget bill for the next 2 years, $78 billion in state spending.
And the governor, how does it work? The governor proposes the budget and says, here's a starting point.
He gave it over to them last month, and he said, this is my proposal for how the state should operate over the next 2 months and next 2 years and how we should spend our $78 billion, which we anticipate in revenue. And the legislative leaders are saying, well, you know, we have a few ideas of our own. We may tinker with this thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about, if we can, in the over 3,000 bills that have thus far been submitted for discussion and debate and hopefully voting coming up here over the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, whatever it's going to be.
Who knows?
There are some weird bills in there that might not get some attention. What have you, in your looking at some of the legislation that's coming in? By the way, we should tell folks that if you want to look at all of this legislation, check out richmondsunlight.com. That is really by far the best legislative tracking site really in the country, and it's focused on the Virginia General Assembly. It was created by Waldo Jaquith and is now a program at the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy. It is, would you agree, it really is, we're so lucky to have this.
It's an excellent website. If you're looking at anything in the General Assembly, you can find it best there.
Yeah, it really is amazing. What are some of the weird bills that they'll be debating this
year?
There
are a lot of them. My favorite little ones are the bill that Paula Miller introduced this year to require the Charlottesville-based Virginia High School League to require and set standards for use of only wooden bats in all high school softball and baseball games.
Say that again.
Only wooden bats.
Because so you can't use a metal bat.
Right now, the ball comes off an aluminum bat so much faster, so much there is more danger to high school players from the aluminum bat-driven ball than there will be when they switch, if this bill passes, back to wooden bats. It comes off the aluminum bat so
fast. It's sort of like a public health bill.
It's a safety bill. It's a safety measure. And another of my favorite little bills that's a safety measure is the one that Jim Scott introduced to ban text messaging while driving. You know, in Virginia right now, it is it's legal if you're not driving recklessly, and you'd have to be sort of, you know, causing a police officer to notice you to be clocked for driving recklessly. It's legal to sit there and text message while you're driving.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily good for safety.
I've done it at stoplights.
At stoplights, I think it makes sense, although
I have it on the seat and I'll pick it up and respond to an email on my BlackBerry and then it goes green and I throw it back over in the seat.
I wonder how many people, you know, the police say they see a lot of folks text messaging. I don't know if they're text messaging or you know, dialing. You can't really tell.
Yeah, that's true.
But a lot of folks text message while they're driving.
Yeah, it's especially younger folks, I guess.
Well, I think so.
More of them are text messaging, I would assume.
Right. My thumbs are too big. Yeah. Or my keyboard is too small.
Any other weird bills coming down the pike?
Well, there are always a lot of bills that deal with reproductive health. There are bills that are going to... there's another bill to ban cockfighting. Cockfighting is illegal right now in Virginia if you bet on it or charge admission. But this would make it a serious penalty for...
They want to make it like racketeering or something,
yeah,
right?
They want to take it serious as dogfighting has been taken serious.
I don't think Richmond liked the international media coverage of dogfighting or that brought to Virginia.
You know, Rob Bell introduced a bill, I don't know, 4 years ago now that would have banned cockfighting and dogfighting. And he got the dogfighting part of his bill through. He could not get the chicken part of the bill through.
That weird? Because it's just such a...
It's a Virginia tradition among different groups. The landed gentry out in the country, There are plenty of immigrant groups that that like this tradition from, you know, from Latin America. It's a strange but time-honored Virginia custom. The house that James Madison, James Madison owns,
yeah,
grew up in, lived in, Montpelier. When Marion DuPont Scott bought that house, she put an indoor cockfighting ring in the house. Now, it's been taken out since they've done the restoration of Montpelier. But I remember going through there and saying, wow, what I've never seen as beautiful a cockfighting ring indoors. And it was.
Yeah. It's hard for me to... I'm an animal lover just as much as the next guy, but it's sort of hard for me to say, oh, no, that poor little chicken, don't make him fight. You know, you're just going to eat it.
You got to see the spurs they put on those things. It's pretty bloody.
Is it pretty hideous?
It's pretty bloody.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. What are the major themes this year that we're looking at in the for the Virginia General Assembly session?
New spending for education, new spending for mental health, and reform of long-neglected look at the state mental health system. And the mental health system, I think, is going to be the big story outside the budget. The budget is always the big story every other year. And I think this year they are going to change the standard for which individuals can be committed involuntarily to either inpatient or outpatient treatment. That's going to be very controversial because there are a lot of people who have very strong feelings on many sides of that issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the aid to the state mental health system is going to be increased by anywhere from $40 to $60 million, which is probably about as much as it can take early on. You can't turn something around as quickly as you might like in a huge mental health system. They have to add people and as they add services.
Yeah, and that's one thing Kane wants to do, if I'm not mistaken, is put more frontline people out into the communities who are literally the people who are dealing with the sick people. We need more of those people
case officers for the community service boards. They also are going to open up some more emergency beds that people can be taken to instead of taking people to jail. Right now, police officers have to take some individuals. If they're going to take them anywhere, they take them to jail. And, you know, we have a large number of mentally ill individuals in Virginia's prison system and Virginia's jails, and they aren't getting the kind of services. It's just wrong.
My guest is Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You wrote recently about a bond issue for colleges. Explain this to us.
Well, that's going to be tweaked and changed throughout the 60 days of the session that starts at noon Wednesday. But every major college and university in Virginia and all of the community colleges are going to get new buildings and some new equipment out of this. If it is passed by the General Assembly, it will go on the ballot this November 4th. And Virginians will have an opportunity to vote for a large bond issue that will, you know, the South Lawn Project at the University of Virginia and a new engineering school building are included in this bond
issue.
Wow,
so this is major, major money.
Virginia Tech gets the largest amount, but Virginia is right behind it, and every major school gets a couple of big buildings. You know, there's a new science building in there for Christopher Newport University. It's something the community colleges desperately need as they're bursting at the seams with new students and don't have the places to offer the classroom instruction.
Bob Gibson, political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his coverage of the Virginia General Assembly over the next few months online at dailyprogress.com or in the paper, the Daily Progress. Thank you so much, Bob. And next week, we need to talk about MockCon at Washington and Lee University. That's coming up in just a couple weeks.
Coming up the 25th and 26th of January. They're going to pick the next Democratic nominee.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.